Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tax Invoice. This is John Moroney, Chief Executive of the Self-Managed Superfund Association. Today we are meeting James O'Halloran, ATO Deputy Commissioner of Superannuation, to discuss the journey for self-managed superfunds going forward. James, welcome and thanks for taking the time to speak to us today. With the end of the financial year and the due date for new reporting requirements for SMSFs nearing, can you please tell us a bit about what SMSF trustees need to report and any hints for things they should look out for?
So thanks, John. And look, it's good to share a conversation with you for all sorts of reasons, because you and I have a common interest in SMSFs for all sorts of reasons. And certainly, look, this is an important time of year going into the end of the financial year. But I think I need to state from the ATO's point of view, look, we've found the last 12 months, probably like yourself, interesting, exhilarating, challenging, but also we are now moving into a period where it's important people need to know what they do and we can seek to help them. But there's been an incredible amount of work to get ready, as you well know, and I suspect many other people would also be aware, to implement a series and a raft of changes over the last 2 to 3 years. So I do just want to acknowledge the strong cooperation with industry more broadly, as well as with a whole range of individuals in the industry, including people like yourself, to actually help work with the ATO to really, you know, get a pretty smooth implementation on what's been a pretty long journey. I'm probably not sure yet whether at the end, or at the middle, or at the start. I think the main thing is we're just in a series of reform and we'll continue to work to help everybody as well as to do what the government's asked us to do. But it is, as I say, going into a lodgement time. And from our point of view, if I could call this SMSF lodgement time, early in the year, I authorised a deferral of SMSF lodgements, recognising the pressure, as we discussed at the time, that your members and no doubts many others needed some assistance. Pleasingly to date, we have about 65% of lodgements that have come in, and that's good. Good or bad, we'll see where we land by the end of the year, but we've had about 30,000 funds have claimed CGT relief. And of course, that's an important decision and one which we really need funds and members to consider over the coming weeks. And of course, at the same time, tied up with reporting, for at least from our point of view, is that there's really two key concepts that are central to good administration for SMSF members and trustees, namely the transfer balance cap and the total super balance. So there's new reporting requirements, new context. The signs are good, but we are moving into when the obligations need to be followed through. So that's probably my initial take on it, John.
Thanks, James. And thanks also for the referral. That certainly helped the pressures in the sector, and good to hear that almost two-thirds have lodged. Hopefully the other third are getting close to sending their information in your direction. Can you tell us some more about the requirements for the transfer balance cap and the total superannuation balance?
Yeah, look, I think it's always important in these conversations to probably just, you know, give some foundational context, because these are new concepts. So firstly, look, the transfer balance cap tracks amounts that are transferred into the tax-free retirement phase of superannuation. For instance, when you're starting a pension, commuting or moving amounts back into accumulation. So the transfer balance cap is required to be reported when these events occur, and from how people do it is via what was created called the Transfer Balance Account Report, the affectionately known TBAR report, which of course was built with industry but certainly by the ATO. On our experience to date, there's probably a couple of hints, particularly for SMSF trustees and members. One is, subject to those events, you don't need to wait for the due date to report. So where a member has exceeded their cap but subsequently perhaps rectified their excess, or commuting a pension in full or starting another one, we do strongly encourage people to report this information to us at the same time. Second element perhaps is from some of the experiences we've seen to date, when reporting existing pensions, and by that I mean ones being paid prior to 1 July 2017. It's important to report the date as at 30 June 2017, as this allows us to do some pretty important things to remember. One is it identifies cap-defined benefit pensions, including market-linked pensions. And, of course, if the individual qualified for the transitional period arrangements back in December 2017, to bring their transfer balance cap back to $1.6 million. And also it identifies and reports, needs to be reported, structured settlement contributions made prior to 1 July 2017. And, of course, they can affect a person's personal transfer balance cap. The second concept, perhaps, John, and I think these are often important foundation principles, and perhaps you've found the same, is the concept of total super balance. And of course, really, that on the other hand just identifies a person's total amount of superannuation that an individual holds, regardless of what type of fund it's in. And so, it's important, we think, for SMSF trustees that they're aware of the total super balance, as their eligibility to access certain super measures can be affected if an individual total super balance is above certain thresholds. So I think the main point out of that is key concepts, major changes, the need to facilitate and actually do reporting now, and where possible, do it as soon and as often as possible, or when people find themselves in these particular situations that I've touched on. So I think, John, they're probably two things that are simple but important, but also important to understand the outcomes.
Thanks, James. There's certainly some technical terms that often get tossed around and can cause a bit of confusion. Accumulation phase value, retirement phase value. Can you explain a little bit about these values and why they're so important?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good point, John. Like you, we find that new concepts, new terminology has certainly come forward. And perhaps if I focus on a couple around some of the value terminology. So for total super balance for the 2016-17 report, what needs to be reported is the relevant values on the T-bar report. And from the 2017-18, these values will be reported on the SMSF annual return. Now, simply, there's three values that I'd perhaps highlight. One's the accumulation phase value, the so-called APV, which is optional for SMSFs or for most SMSFs. Then the second value is the retirement phase value, which you must report if the SMSF is paying pensions. And finally, the third value is the closing account balance, which SMSFs also must report.
Can you describe the circumstances that where it may be in the member's best interest to report the accumulation phase value?
Yeah, we're often asked that, and whilst I must stress, obviously these are decisions that are for people to make themselves, but if I just touch on the two circumstances where it may be in the member's best interest to report their APV or accumulation phase value. One is where a member has a flexi pension or a capped defined benefit income stream. So reporting the APV value, even if that value is nil, will prevent us overvaluing the member's total super balance. And I think that's a pretty important consideration and may not be obvious to some. Secondly, where the member's APV is less than the closing account balance because of admin fees or administration, I should say, exit fees or realisation costs. But of course, if you don't report an APV, we will use, perhaps as one would expect, the closing account balance and any retirement phase value reported to work out the member's APV. So I think they're the two circumstances that people need to consider in deciding whether to perhaps report their APV as suitable to their individual circumstances.
Thanks, James. So with these new changes, some people may not be aware of what information the ATO is able to provide online. Would you mind telling us what information trustees and self-managed super fund professionals can access online?
Yeah, look, it's been both a challenge and an important step, I think, for the ATO to try and put as much sunlight and information around account balances and a whole range of information. And we've been on that journey really for the last couple of years. But certainly, probably the main issue is that from the commencement of the recent reforms, that's what we've been trying to do, to get some information out there that actually adds value to people. So our aim has really been to recognise the importance of many of the transitional features so that people can see it and prevent breaches. Prevention is really what we're trying to warn people about or give them information. And we recognise that a whole range of information is important now for people to manage their superannuation, be it the caps or be it the context. So we've just started displaying information that will help members, we believe, to manage their transfer balance cap. There's really three particular pieces of information that we're putting up. One is, it will be available through our online services, how your transfer balance account has been calculated. Secondly, really, if your transfer balance cap has been exceeded. And finally, the details of superannuation funds that have reported your TBC or the transfer balance cap events, so that they can be contacted in the event of any incorrect reporting. So I think those three points are new pieces of information that are particularly important as we move into this lodgement period or reporting period. As has been the case, and certainly feedback's been pretty positive, you know, individuals can download, print or email this information, because people, as you know, have different ways of dealing with information, so they can share it with their advisor or whatever method they realise. And for some time now on ato.gov or through the MyGov entry point, there's been information and remains the same, but detail of super accounts reported to the ATO, account balances, you know, things like insurance indicators, total super balance and the status of bring forward arrangements. But that new piece of information, particularly around transfer balance cap, is probably the new bit of information. And of course, we have our long-standing ability for people to consolidate accounts through MyGov. And many people do that. Something like 2.6 million accounts have been consolidated over the last, I think, over about the last 4 or 5 years. So it's an important step, particularly at tax time.
Yeah, I think that account consolidation is a terrific feature and one that I can say I've had personal experience with. When I returned to the country last year, I found an old account in there and click of a button and suddenly it had joined my main account. So it's a great facility.
Well, I have to get you to do an ad for us, Josh.
I'll check with my agent to see how the bookings are going.
I'm not sure we can afford you, John.
James, getting back to the last 2 years, it's clear there's been a lot of change for the super industry over that time. How do you think that change process went, and what would be the key things we've learned from the change process?
I think it's pretty simple. Hard to do, but simple to say. You've got to engage early, often. We've got to see value in each other's role in the system and, of course, ultimately, in any context, the importance of good outcomes for members and trustees. And, of course, where the ATO can bring forward some certainty of the law, some clarity of the Commissioner's position, particularly as the regulator of SMSFs, and engage in good faith, recognising that some things sometimes need to be compromised in the sense of, you know, there may be issues that we can't agree on, but that's not a reason not to try and find sensible outcomes, particularly in a positive, collaborative way. I think that really is the essence of perhaps what we think is important.
Can you tell me, James, is this a time where the ATO will be focusing more on self-managed super fund trustees or increasing the expectations on these trustees?
Look, in one sense, no, in the sense that, you know, up front, we think SMSFs operate pretty well. Many people that are trustees and involved in giving advice clearly try and do the right thing, and they're a useful vehicle and people, of course, are dealing with their own future in many instances. However, at a time of change, you know, there can be awareness issues, there can be understanding issues, and so certainly our involvement will still be very positive in trying to help people through the change where we can. And equally, we will find trustees, as many have, are bringing circumstances that we need to turn our mind to. But at any time of reform, and I suspect like you, I've been through a range of reforms, quite often there are people who may wish to take advantage of the early days of reform through some inventive schemes. And so similar to a range of activities that we've done for the last 6 months, where we have a view or concern, whether it be reserves, whether it be activities to move away from or to perhaps manipulate caps or assets, we would be obviously be very keen and very diligent to zero in on those very quickly so that people aren't tripped or trapped into those arrangements.
So, James, are there any important takeaway messages or reminders that we'd like to share with the audience at this important time of the year?
Look, one is, firstly, as the regulator, we will not change our stance in wanting to work with SMSFs, their advisors, and, of course, relevant associations, including clearly your own. Secondly, is that there was a recent case, which I won't go into the details for the moment, but certainly it's a matter of heart at the full federal court. And that raised a number of issues which was favourable to the ATO's case around trustees and being a fit and proper person. We'll have more to say to that in a few weeks' time. So I just make the point that being a trustee is an obligation. It's not just a cavalier attitude, but certainly there are some issues where we will continue to focus on making sure that people and trustees behave appropriately and are well informed. But probably the main takeaway messages fall into really some areas we've touched on already. And we're really focusing on this time of year. Clearly, lodgements. You know, there is no advantage, and in fact, quite the reverse. The ATO didn't grant a deferral lightly, and so therefore we do expect people to lodge on time. The decision to apply for CGT relief is important, and even trustees who want to apply for CGT relief need to advise us by completing the election within the CGT schedule, together with the relevant CGT questions in the SMSF annual return. So it is, in fact, an irrevocable decision. It's an important one. It's a transitional one. So completing that election is particularly important to do it on time. Because the CGT relief's not automatic. And, John, I think you and I have discussed in other forums that there's a lot of interest in CGT relief. It is, in fact, a major part of a recognition of a change to the CGT settings, or to the reforms, I should say. We can't do it for people, and we can't automatically do it. So given that we did grant a deferral, we found that one thing was that for those who have already lodged their annual return but didn't make the CGT election, even those who chose not to consciously, they can lodge an amended 16-17 return in order to include a CGT election up until the due date of the SMSF annual return. Event-based reporting is the term that we've tended to use and discussed earlier, John, about transfer balance caps and those sorts of things and the T-bar reporting. I don't think I'll elaborate on that too much more, but people should be aware, I hope, that SMSFs that have at least one member with a total super balance over 1 million, the SMSF will have to report the events 28 days after the quarter in which the event occurred. So we do acknowledge that that event-based reporting may be new to people, but it's particularly important and is an obligation. And finally, I think there's probably a couple of final things. One is really your introductory, Don. I think that the time of year is important. We want people to look on our website, seek advice from professional advisors on any concerns, because we are moving into the period where we need to see these reports, we need to understand the information to protect the member as well as to deal with those who may in fact be in contravention of the law.
Thanks, James. Just looking ahead, our association, the Self-Managed Super Fund Association, has several thousand members, accountants, financial planners, lawyers, auditors, actuaries helping the million plus members of self-managed super funds. Can you just suggest some of the key things that those in the association or more broadly in the sector should be aware of looking ahead?
Yeah, look, probably a couple of things. The measures that have been announced in the budget, or perhaps, John, I should say budgets, there are some in the 2018 budget that impact on SMSFs. Clearly, they are still being worked through at the moment. But obviously, subject to those discussions through Treasury and the like, the ATO will be out consulting as soon as we can. Secondly, is that I think a pleasing announcement, I think it's been well received, the extension of Superstream for SMSF rollovers is particularly important. And again, we're out consulting at the moment with a view of having the rollover facility available by late 2019, and there'll be consultation processes. And probably finally, in sort of looking ahead, I think there is a standing message. If in doubt of one's obligations or perhaps one's situation, take advice. Speak to people, speak to your advisor, contact your association, contact the ATO. I think that remains a standing message. Don't feel that you can work through by yourself. If in doubt, ask, seek help, seek professional advice is probably where I'd close off that element of what might be ahead for members.
Are there other things that you think it's important for trustees themselves to remember when they look ahead?
Well, I think one is the obligation that trustees have is important. It's important to them and their members. But I think really I've probably covered the essence, other than make yourself available to seek information, seek help, particularly around lodgements, particularly around CGT relief, and particularly around the context and understanding of reforms. And the ATO is certainly here to help, assist, including if mistakes are made, feel free to come forward and we'll try and work our way through it with people. Because we've learned some valuable lessons on a range of things, but our stance is to prevent breaches where we can, to work with people, and if people find that they're in awkwardness, putting your head in the sand doesn't help, and we obviously want to protect the reputation of SMSFs, as no doubt you and your members would want for the broader community.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, James. I'm sure our audience has received a lot of value out of listening to our conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.